I'm going to introduce Rabbi Adi Isaacs. There we go. Please.
We just practiced in 10 minutes.
Okay, Boker Tov. We are very excited to launch this Yom Iyun with a fantastic speaker guest, because someone who knows this Beis Medrash very well, spent a number of years here in the Beis Medrash, learning with our guys. Seems like a year ago, but it was like 3 weeks ago. He met his partner, Rabbi Moshe Knecht, when we spent Shabbat in Mitzvah Yericho. Rabbi D. Isaacs founded an amazing program called Thrive, which you heard about a little bit that Shabbos, which is a, can I call it a Kira program? Are you allowed to call it, to say such a thing?
Yeah, here
we go. It's a program that engages students who come to spend a year or a semester abroad in either Hebrew University or Tel Aviv University, and engages them in the broader questions of what it means to be a Jew. It's very successful in doing that and then having these students more engaged in their Judaism and connection to Israel and to Torah, etc., and Jewish people. And as such, in that context, he visits many, many college campuses throughout the country, throughout the United States, other countries as well. Just U.S. and Canada. McGill? Toronto also? So he gets to see what's going on. The students that come here are coming from those college campuses. So he has a real feel of what's happening. After he gives his presentation, which is to everybody, he's also going to be giving specifically to the guys who are going to secular colleges, or guys who aren't but want to hear it. You're welcome to do that as well. That's going to take place actually in Rabbi Yudit's classroom, okay, which they'll show you where that is. And Rabbi Eisenstein will be here in this classroom. That's next. There'll be refreshments. You come back in here if you're want to hear the YU presentation. If you want to hear the secular college presentation, that's where Rabbi Isaacs will be in the other classroom. So without further ado, Bakasha. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, Baruch Hashem, you guys, first of all, Rael Shem, thank you very much for inviting me, and also for the introduction. This year, probably in particular, you guys have been living here in the Midbar, in the coastly based Hamedrash, Shiras Torah Shraga, being exposed to each other. The peer pressures has been very positive. The role models that you had, again, are all going in a certain kibun hachayim. And that's amazing. What are some of the struggles that you guys have to deal with is, you know, am I going to make Seder at 9:15, maybe 9:20, maybe 9:25? Am I going to go, you know, once the rules relaxed, am I going to maybe take off a night Seder and go to Ben Yehuda with some friends to get some dinner? Am I going to maybe not pay attention so much and use all my kochos during shiur? I'm going to space out a little bit, doodle. I'm going to play on my phone. Those are some of the things that you struggled with this year. Forever is not coming back, Shana Bet. Hope you do come back. Change your mind. You should come back, Shana Bet. Because once you leave these coastally based Hamedrash, you'll have summer, which is one type of thing. Guys, who knows? Anybody know this guy over here? give a little plug. He's a good man. Since he was born, he's always been trying to steal my thunder. And he does a good job. As soon as you leave here, you'll have summer, which is one challenge, and you guys have to definitely think about what is summer. But when you move on to college, the next step, life is very very different. People call that the real world.
It's not necessarily, it's not true.
The real world is the Kos Leibeis HaMedrash. But yet we have something else that we have to do. In this past week's parsha, we talked about, everybody I'm sure has learned and seen many divrei Torah about, see a once you see a sota, the Gemara and Rashi says that Yazir Atma Min Hayayin. You've seen a sota bekilkula, which means, according to most pshatim in the Gemara, it means that you actually saw what was going on. You weren't just there when there was the big exciting, what is her stomach going to blow up or is it not? But you actually saw how she interacted improperly with men, and she maybe went to Mitzyachi. And then all of a sudden, now she's brought, and maybe her stomach blows up, and it probably does. And if that happens, then Yazir Atzma Min Hayayin, you just saw an amazing nace. And nevertheless, you have to take action in order to prevent yourself from being mushba. Have to. Why? You shouldn't have to. It should be something that should leave such a strong roshem on you for the rest of your life that you saw a nace before Asiya. Her stomach blew up, or her stomach didn't blow up, and now she had kids. She had all girls before, now she had boys, as the Gemara talks about. Why is it that you have to then, the Torah says, Yazir Atmanei, I have to become a Nazir? Look at a Nazir, sounds like such a huge Dovah Shebe Kedusha, and it is. Right? The Gemara talks about how Kadosh a person, a Nazir, is. It's even a higher level than going to the Beis HaMikdash. Via Kohen. But if you think about it, it's really actually something small. You don't cut your hair. Raise your hand in this room who hasn't cut their hair for 30 days. Right? So now that I'm married, my wife doesn't really let me go beyond 30 days. But, in general, I didn't cut my hair every 30 days. You don't drink wine for 30 days? Big deal. The point is that you had to take proper steps to prevent yourself, a davar shebekdusha, to make sure that something doesn't happen. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, says very carefully, very clearly, Derech Briyaso Shal Adam Lios Nimshach B'Deosav Uvemasav Achareyav V'Chavirav V'Nohag B'Minhag Anshe Medinasa. One more time. Derech Briyaso doesn't say that maybe people will be affected by their surroundings. It says Derech Briyaso, every single one of us. Every single one of us are mushba, are affected by wherever we go, wherever we live, whoever are our friends, whoever are not our friends, whoever's our neighbor, where we go shopping next to. And on Shabbos we had a bar mitzvah for my bechor, and one of my good friends, who is a classic brisker, very loud. Not necessarily politically correct. And he got up and I asked him to speak, because our family is politically correct. So I have one colorful speaker. So he was speaking and he was talking about this idea a little bit, because he wasn't at the other speeches and didn't hear everybody else say the same exact word 30 times. But he told the story. He said that in Torah Vadas, in New York, that the Rosh Yeshiva got up and he said to them, he said, you think you're in the Beis HaMedrash and you're not mushba. You think you're in the Beis HaMedrash and the Shvarza outside does not affect your life? He says, you're wrong. It's okay, my brisker friend said that. If I would ever say that, I would not have a job. So no one's recording this and puts my name on it. Okay. What the point is that we think that just because you're in one room and outside there are other people, that's not true at all. And Rabbi Olshin gave a little bit of introduction about myself, but I want to tell you a little bit more right now. The reason why is I'm not a self-promoter, but number one, when you're about to go into the real world, you're going to have a lot of people that are giving you information. There's going to be a lot of ways that information are coming to you. And you're going to now, when you're in the yeshiva right now, so the rabbanim screen for you who's going to speak. Adi Isaacs, he's a decent guy. You know what? You know this person, decent guy. They'll come speak. But when you go, as soon as you leave here, wherever you're going, there is going to be people that are going to be giving you information. You're going to be reading in newspapers and social media. You're going to be in your college. And every time you're reading something, there's another angle. Whether you're in a certain college and they're having a speaker who is the biggest shagitz, right? He's been in jail 4 times, but he actually has donated a wing of the college. So he's giving a class on business ethics. Why? You don't know this. The reason why is because he donated a wing. But you're listening to him give a class on business ethics. And in the media, everything that you're going to read, you are now going to have to, number one, try to understand where I'm getting information from, and should I be accepting this information, and why should I be accepting this information? So that's lesson number one. So let me tell you why I am here. As Rabbi Olshin said, I started a program called Thrive. You met Moshe Knecht, who works with me. What we do is we built this concept of there's a lot of Jews that aren't connected to Israel, aren't connected to religion, and there's a concept called study abroad. When you're in your third year of college or second year of college, you could go anywhere in the world and take a semester and get a full semester's worth of college, the same way that you do at NYU or Touro as your gap year. In the secular world, as soon as you get to college, people are like, oh, where should I study abroad? So we created this program to get people to come to Israel, to Hebrew U, and to Tel Aviv, and we built an amazing program as part of it. Why should you come to Israel and Tel Aviv? Because you'll be able to do basic training in the army, and you'll learn about kibbutzim, and you'll travel to Italy. Like, we do a lot of fun things. And therefore, kids, college kids, that are connected somewhat to their religion, we make it more exciting for them to come to Israel, so that hopefully they'll develop this relationship with Israel, and they'll also develop a relationship to Judaism. And then hopefully that will continue. Now, through this, I've been exposed to everything that goes on in college. Meaning, I go to about 30 college campuses a year, except for this past year. I spend Shabbos on college campus, or I used to, I no longer do. But I spend Shabbos on college campuses, I've given shiur in there. And aside from that, I've given shiur in fraternities and sororities, you name it, I've done it. And I went to YU and I didn't do anything. But in the places that I was there, I have been to all the college campuses and I've been exposed to a lot of information of what actually happened there. Number two is the types of people that I'm exposed to are also representative of the greater world. For example, a lot of the students that we have, so they are Jewish or Jewish or maybe not even Jewish, and they think they're Jewish, and they come from good families in New York, very wealthy families, and I will be invited to all these different things. For example, this last summer and this summer, I've already had 3 invitations to go to the Hamptons or Nantucket or Greenwich to go on billionaires' yachts. And obviously that's something that I can't do. But I've been exposed. I've gone for meals in these people's houses. People that are completely not from that. Again, things that you're going to have to figure out how to approach them in terms of sneas and different things. So I've seen and I've heard things that many of you hopefully will never be exposed to. But that's why I am here trying to give you a little bit of a taste on how to not just survive, but thrive. That's the name of my program, someone pulled. Thrive in this world. Okay, so that's just a little bit of information about myself. I went to YU, was planning on being a dentist, hoping to get into UCLA Dental School, came to Israel, and I haven't left since, and started this program again 10 years ago. Anyhow, what's this world now? The world that you're going into. And the greater world. Baruch Hashem, we're all part of the Orthodox world, and we are pretty insular. And it's great that we're insular. The more insular you are, the easier it is to grow and to continue to grow and not to be mushba. But the further you go out, and some people are going to be going to secular colleges, you get more mushba. Then you start working, and you're definitely going to be mushba. And if you don't prepare yourself for this, you're going to fall. You have to know what's out there. What is the world? Everything can negate Torah, basically. Except for whenever you think. I like to say that somebody asked me, so do you take non-Jews on your program? Of course not. Our program is for Jewish students. We only accept Jewish students. I go recruit. I have to fundraise for the program. So we fund Jewish students. How do you know if they're Jewish? How do you know? It's very simple. If they have a last name like Teichman, they're not Jewish. What do you mean? It's because in that world outside, there is about 60% of people intermarry. Jews marry non-Jews. So if the name of a student is Teichman, that means what? The father is Jewish, which means that she or he is not Jewish, most likely. Crazy. That's the world. That's one thing. People that you think are Jewish are not Jewish. Number one. Number two is you see what's going on right now. It's going to become more blatant in terms of how much people hate Eretz Yisrael, how much they hate Judaism, Jews, and even if they don't really hate it, I say, honestly, most people aren't anti-Semites. They just don't know. And unfortunately, the wave right now is it is cool and it is proper to be on the underdog side. And because Israel has the Iron Dome, and because we're so strong, so you have to fight Israel. Last 2 weeks, I've had Zoom calls with over 150 students and parents. These are students that are pro-Israel now. Some of them have started keeping Shabbos and started doing things. And they themselves are so confused. The reason they themselves are so confused, even they are so pro-everything, is because all the information that is being fed to them is negative about Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And it's so strange for me because all the information that I see, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or most of the stuff that I see or through the news that I watch, is all positive because what I choose to like is what I see. But these students who go to Columbia and Penn and UCLA and Rutgers and WashU and across the spectrum, all they see is negative, even though they are pro-Israel. And therefore, they couldn't even understand. They knew that Israel is right, but they didn't know how and why. And I had to explain to them, even though they spent 5 months here and they love Israel. And all their friends are bashing them. All of their friends. Another thing, don't know, when you go out there now, women are competing in men's sports, men are competing in women's sports. It's just super, 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 super confusing. The world is mamish upside down. If you were to reading the Megillah's Esther for me now, it's crazier for me to look at the world in 2021 than to read Megillah's Esther. When you read Megillah's Esther, you think that the Jews are about to be killed, and Esther is put there like as a spy, and Mordechai, and all of a sudden it flips, and it's like a tremendous nace. But the world is completely upside down, and all of a sudden it flipped. Like, the world is crazier now than it was at the time of Megillah's Esther. That's crazy. Quick story. I was speaking at Tulane during a recruiting trip in New Orleans, and And I was traveling, and my trips are crazy. I get up at like 3 in the morning, I hop on a plane at 4, I land at the next place, and then I speak, I spend the day, I go to maybe 2 colleges, and then I sleep for like an hour and a half, I get in the plane, v'chulei v'chulei. So I land in New Orleans at about 4:15, 4:30 in the morning, I'm exhausted, nieces, not so who knows what time, it's another like hour till I could actually daven. And I have one coffee, and then I have to go to the bathroom, I go to the bathroom, and this is 3 years ago. And as I'm washing my hands, all of a sudden, a woman comes over to me and says, "Don't worry, everything's okay." And I was like, "Holy moly, this is what's going on in America." And this is a lounge in Delta, and there's a woman in the men's bathroom, and she's coming over to me, and I'm like all uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden, I walk out, and I realize I was the one that walked into the women's bathroom. Moral of the story is Tavla Kavschos. Number 2 is get a little bit more sleep. And yeah, that's the world. That's the world that we are in. So now, how do we combat not being mushba? I go on and on the stories and things about this, and things about like this. But how do we not become mushba? So the Gemara in Sota says, in Adam Chote, Ela im yishkin ruach shtus. A person never does any chit unless there's a ruach shtus. What does that mean? What's a ruach shtus? So says the Nefesh HaChaim. Says the Nefesh HaChaim. A ruach shtus means that the way that we are supposed to approach every single aspect of our life is with bechachma. You think about things. If you take a decision, and you make a decision based on your gut or emotional instinct, that's when you mess up. Or that's when there's potential to mess up. The lesson that we're learning from the Nefesh HaChai is very clear. Decisions and important decisions that we make in life have to be bechesed. You have to think about them. Anytime you think about something, there is a very low likelihood that you're actually going to be chote. And if you look through Maamar Chazal, this is reflected all over the place. It says that if somebody wants to do an Avera, what do they do? The Moshe has a Yitzhar Lebeis HaMedrash. Why does it mean that Moshe has a Yitzhar Lebeis HaMedrash? Because you're going to go learn, but also it'll take time. There's a Chassid HaShirav that used to say that he had a smoking jacket. A smoking jacket. And he lived in a three-story built a three-story house. Small, but three-story house. And he had a smoking jacket on the third story. And he said, anytime, this was his Kabbalah, anytime that he wanted to do an Avera, he's allowed to do it. But before he does the Avera, he has to go put on his smoking jacket. So he left it on the third floor. By the time he got up to the third floor, he realizes that he thought about it and it's not worth it. Not worth it. The idea of how to control yourself is to use your brain. Now, how do you use your brain? Sheer in and of itself. It's complicated. But priorities. This past week's parasha we said, Ishas Kadashav lo yu. What does it mean, Ishas Kadashav lo yu? What is yours? Talking about Kachim. Kachim in the Beis HaMikdash goes to who? Who does the Kachim go to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Kohanim, to the Levim, whatever it is. But it doesn't go to you. So the Chassidus Shavart is Ishas Kadashav lo yu. Is that a person only has his kachim, whatever is kodesh, that is what you actually have. What is important to you? What you all have to figure out now, before you leave, is what is important. Is Torah, Chesed, Tefillah, all of those things, are they central? I hope so. And if they are central, then they have to be the epicenter of every single thing that you do. And try not to get distracted. I'm running out of time, so I'll go a little quickly. When I was a few years ago, 6 years ago was the first time I went to APAC. Not a huge APAC guy. first time I went to APAC, I went to APAC because it was a huge opportunity for me to be parents, students, all these people together in one place of all my alumni. And I got there, and it was in a huge, it was in one of the sports stadiums, maybe the basketball stadium of the Washington Wizards, and it was just tremendous. And all of a sudden, everybody, there was somebody that walked in, a congressman, and everybody stood up and started clapping. And I tell you, it was such a tremendous feeling how stalled I was. It was like, wow, look what we're doing. Everybody's getting up and they feel amazing. There's over 15,000 people here clapping. And everyone's so excited. Like, what a roshem this leaves. And then for a second, I sat down and I said, wow. This is crazy. What's the whole point of everything that's going on here? Is that hopefully the congressman will appreciate what's going on, and next time there's a vote for Israel, he'll vote positively. You know what I did? As I felt this hergish, I sat down and I said a kapitel to him. Do you know why? Because who's ultimately the one that is actually going to potentially convince this congressman to vote for Israel or not? Is that Kodesh Baruch Hu? The shtadlus of having 15,000 people there, maybe one kapitel tehillim is more important. Probably one kapitel tehillim is more important. Now, should people also be doing shtadlus as well? Yeah, of course. But saying kapitel tehillim, maybe my one kapitel tehillim was more important than those 15,000 people. Again, I recruit over 200 people to APAC. I just want to put that out. I recruit over 200 people to APAC on a yearly basis. But I just want to put that out there. One kapitel tehillim could be more important. What we have to understand is a few things. How do I survive? How do I know whether I should go on this yacht with these people, go to Nantucket or the Hamptons, or how do I know when I go to APAC that maybe a kapitel tehillim is more important? How do I know that when there's a girl on my program that is becoming closer to Shmira Shabbos that has no shaychus, and she says, Adi, can I play Rabbi Isaac, can I play tennis with you? And I have to say no, because she's probably not going to dress sneezily. Right? How do I make these decisions? Number one is you have to remember the focus, your focus all the time. Number two, you have to set up things for yourself. One, how is Torah the focus? Seder HaLimud is Yahar Gval Yavin. When you have time to learn, when you're davening, when you have time to daven, when you set that, you cannot have another excuse. Because once you have one excuse, you have two excuses, you have three excuses, that will fall. Wherever you are. YU, Turo, secular college, for sure. Number two is you have to have cheshbon time. You have to have time once a week that you look and you think about what you did this past week, where you were successful, and where you're going to go next, and how you're going to be better next week. Shabbos is a great time for that. Do it every single week. Number three, you have to have a Rebbe. Have to have a Rebbe. It has to be somebody that you talk to. I have a meeting, a weekly meeting with my Rebbe. Weekly meeting with my Rebbe to be able, it's in my calendar, it's in his calendar, 9:20 Tuesday mornings. I ask the shilas that I have. During the week, I write them down. If I need to discuss something, whatever it is. And obviously, key friends. You guys also, there's going to be tremendous distractions wherever you go. Wherever you go. Number one, you have to do ishtadlus. If all these distractions, why don't you just stay here? This is ishtadlus. We know we have to support a family. We have to support a family. So therefore, you have to do ishtadlus. But that's ishtadlus. That's ishtadlus. Don't get distracted. You need to identify what is needed for you in order to accomplish what you need to accomplish, but not to be distracted. Clubs. How many clubs should I be involved in? Again, going back to the Nefesh HaChaim, why should I be involved in this club? Is it going to really get me a job? Now, how do I know if it's really going to get me a job? Is it because my friend told me? Is it because a junior told me? They don't know what they're talking about. Now, one of the biggest issues with college students, especially modern Orthodox college students, is that the guidance that people are looking for are from their peers, and that should not be the case. You should be looking for guidance from people that graduated, that have jobs, from parents, people parents' age. Your friends don't know what they're talking about most of the time. They're in college for 1 year, and therefore they know what having successful in life. So which club should I be in? Speak to people about it. How many clubs should be in? Is it actually going to get me a job? Is this summer internship going to be better than if I do something else? You need to ask these questions. Should I be? How much sports should I be playing? Should I be playing? Is it going to help my resume? Is it not going to help my resume? Should I be doing NCSY? Should I not be? What classes should I be taking? Is it actually going to help? Is it actually not going to help? If you have the right, should I be dating now? Should I not be dating? Meaning, if you have the approach of understanding that I want to grow, I want to be a Ben Torah, the next step is getting me what I need to do as a parnasa, and you continue doing that cheshbin, then every single step along the way, you'll feel great about it. You'll be making the right decision. And the amazing thing about it is, every single one of you have the yicholas to do it, because we all have a brain. We all are bright. And all you need is to take time, again, to figure out what is your epicenter and what you are going to do and why you are going to do it. And once you understand why you're going, constantly ask, why am I going to do the next step? And if you ask yourself, why am I going to do this next step? And is it going to help me accomplish my goal? Then every single one of those questions are a dar shebe kedusha, and it will really get you to Lo-Yu Netu, and you will not just survive the real world, but you will become a Kli HaKodesh that is bringing Kvod Shamayim to your yeshiva, to yourself, and to all of the Kali's children. Shakaya, thank you very much, guys.